wonderful Lord. Precious Redeemer. Hallelujah. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Somebody just give thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just give thanks to the Lord for His love towards us. His wonderful name. The wonderful Jesus.
Amen. And His mercies endure forever. Has anybody noticed? I said this last week, didn't I? Has anybody noticed there's Olympic Games on? Anybody aware that there's Olympic Games on? You know, we can learn a lot from the Olympic Games. Sometimes we can be cynical because it's in our faces for a couple of weeks, but something that registered with me, that, and it wasn't so much about the competitors, but he noticed that our athletes, a lot of them have excelled, yes, beyond anything they expected. Yeah. And when you listen to them, they put it down a lot to, there's a stadium full of encouragers. Stadium full of encouragers. And that brings them on. And, you know, God talks about, or Paul talks about, encouraging one another. It's the most powerful thing to be able to encourage someone. And this afternoon, you might have that opportunity this afternoon to encourage someone. There's been times when I've been going through some things and I've heard from someone that's gone out the other side.
Yes.
I'm in the midst of it and someone's gone out the other side and God's brought them through. And that's just encouraged me to stick with it. Because I was still in the middle. I couldn't see the end from the beginning. But just have the encouragement that somebody's been through that and they've got through to the other side in victory. And, you know, this afternoon you might be that person that's going to just bring that word for somebody else, just for that word of encouragement. Just want to ring. You know, I said Paul's good about, he's on about running races and things like that. I know Lynn's good at running races. But it says in Hebrews chapter 12, just the three verses. I must admit, when the Olympics started, I was a bit on the sidelines, interested, but you know, that's about it. But I have really enjoyed seeing some of the people in the Olympics that have. I mean, they had one. They showed some people. They had volunteers. We must be the only nation that has volunteers. I don't know. And the few girls, and they were directing the crowds, and they got these big pink hands to direct it. But they weren't just doing that. They were singing.
Yeah.
They were singing them along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says, you'll not get in without a smile.
Yeah.
You know. And I thought, wow, that, you know, that is lovely. And that sort of would lift people as they were going there, you know, just to bless them. And I think Paul was like that sometimes. He wanted to help us on our way. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, verses, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. So look for encouragement this afternoon. Hallelujah. Who wants to come and share something with us this afternoon? Amen.
I wasn't going to say anything today. But bear with me and I'll try and get through this. Okay. It's 3 years today since my lovely wife, my dear wonderful Carrie, went to heaven. I miss her each and every day. None more so than today. But I'm getting through it with help from God and some wonderful friends, for whom and to whom I am so truly thankful. You all know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're more than friends. You've really proved yourself to be family. I thank God for you. Thank God for all of you. My Carrie left some wonderful legacies.
Amen.
Legacies of love.
Yes.
When Jesus died, he left the legacy of love.
Yes.
He lives again in heaven.
Amen.
And in us because of that love.
Yes.
Death did not stop Jesus loving us.
Amen.
In fact, he died because he loves us so much.
Yes.
Death cannot kill love.
Yes.
I still love my Carrie.
Yes.
And I know that she left a legacy of love for me.
Amen.
Sorry. She left a grandson, Zachary, who lives in Canada. Zachary is one day going to be a mighty man.
Amen.
Martin Luther King, William Wilberforce, Mother Teresa, Billy Graham and so many others all had grandmothers who too left that same legacy.
Yes. Yes.
I know that this world was better for having my Carrie in it.
It was.
She never knew when she was here how many she had brought to the Lord through her life.
Yeah.
But my life is certainly better for having her in it.
Oh, yeah.
Your parents and grandparents have left you a legacy too.
Yes.
What are you doing with it? I hope, pray, and work for my legacy to be as precious as my Carrie's.
Amen.
I hope, pray, and work for my legacy to be as precious to someone as Jesus' legacy is to me.
Yeah.
Our God, thankfully, is a God of love.
Yes.
Thank you.
I know Ray must have taken a lot of courage just to stand up today and share, but God set us helpmates in life, and I know some of us are single and don't have a husband or a wife, but that doesn't mean to say you haven't got helpmates in your life. God established the principle of helpmates. And it's wonderful to have a wife or a husband, but it's more wonderful just to have a helpmate.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Is there anyone who wants to come and share? Come on, Belle. Yeah. Yes, you may go to Sunday school.
Edwin says I'm next, so... Thank you, Edwin. I must be next. If we can turn to, I said her, haven't I? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. I'm going to pinch a line that I heard on Joyce Meyer's program about 6 or 7 weeks ago. She said it 3 times. It goes, when you feel like doing the wrong thing, but you choose to do the right thing, God is smiling, smiling, smiling.
Yes.
When you feel like doing the wrong thing, but you choose to do the right thing, God is smiling, smiling, smiling. When you feel like doing the wrong thing, and you choose to do the right thing, God is smiling, smiling, smiling. Yeah. Okay, where's that going? Proverbs 19, verse 11. Are we all there? A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression.
Yeah.
Thursday this week, I went to Cleith Oaks with my sister, who is severely disabled. We went on the train. We had not a bad journey there. On the way back, we're coming back on an extremely small train. There was a crowd 100 miles long waiting to get onto it. It was a two-carriage train. And the place was packed with kids, as it would be on a nice hot day in Cleethorpes. A lot of holiday makers, it's school holidays. You would think there would be a bigger train on. We got on, we managed to get seats. There were 2 seats facing each other with a table in the middle. And there was sort of my sister, me, 2 other people. When it was too late, we noticed a sign on the seats. It says, reserved from Doncaster to Manchester. So we thought we might be having to get up here. But by that time, the train was so crowded, they were standing by the doors, they were standing all the way down all the aisles, and there wasn't room to breathe. When they stopped at other stations like Grimsby, Scunthorpe and 1 or 2 others, people were turned away. They were trying to get on with pushchairs and bikes, and they couldn't get on. When we got to Doncaster, it starts pulling out of Doncaster, and this Asian family came on, and there was a boy about 10 years old. I think he was the only one who speaks English. He said, come to us, he said, these seats are reserved. So we had a moment's silence, and then we got up. Well, there was a man and a woman in about the 30s, and 2 children, one about 10, one 8. We had a struggle to get into the aisle because it was packed. My sister had a great deal of struggle because she's more disabled than I am. We stood up, 2 preteen children sat down. One of them, there was a girl eating a piece of cake, and somebody else said that that woman was laughing at you. She said to my sister, that woman was laughing at you as you struggled to get up. My sister said she wanted to smack her in the mouth. She said she felt like putting that cake into the child's face and rubbing it in. But we didn't. We stood there, and then 2 women in another seat, they got up and let us have their seats. That was very kind of them. But we turned to... See, that's us feeling like doing the wrong thing. We felt like making fools of ourselves. We would have come away. I said to my sister afterwards, I said, because you didn't shove that cake in that child's mouth, in her face, and you didn't smack that woman in the gob, we came out on top. We are better than they are. They're the ones who were seen to be inferior in front of all these people. Turn to Proverbs 22 and verse 6, and we'll just expand a little bit on that. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is the real crux of this issue. The fact that those 2 parents showed those 2 children how to behave.
Yeah.
You will let pensioners in their 60s who are severely disabled, you will let them stand up because you will put yourself first. Your comfort comes first. You will sit down and you will enjoy eating your cake while the elderly disabled will stand up. This is what we are teaching you. And you will go through your life, you will grow up with that, and that is the way you are going to go. I haven't got many notes today, this is all I've got. I wanted to look at today's issue of Word for Today. I've just put a margin around some of these. You remember your life before you met Jesus. You had no boundaries. You were ruled by your impulses. You'd go anywhere, do anything, and say whatever you pleased. Now, we're not bringing up the past to make you feel bad, but to make you feel grateful and to show you how far God has brought you and what was God's solution to your sin problem. We move on to Martin Luther said, "The recognition of sin is the beginning of salvation. It's feeling bad about your sin that leads to feeling good about God's grace. Do you remember the day Jesus found you, saved you, brought you into his family and showered you with his blessing?" There's a song that's been growing on me ever since we filmed at Pastor Joy's church 3 weeks ago. It was the song that the dancers were dancing to, and the lyric, it goes round and round, and it's implanted itself into my psyche, into my spirit. And it says this: "I won't go back, can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me." Amen. And that goes on, and I keep singing that, and I just love it. I like the sound of the song, but it's the words that go into my spirit. When did I become changed? It was quite recently, actually. I thought I became changed in 2000. I thought I became saved. I was masquerading as a born-again Christian. What is born-again Christian? It's when you die. You have to die. And you have to be born again. I've always felt that I'm still not quite there. There's something a little bit missing. And Billy Graham told me last night what it was. If anybody watched Billy Graham last night. It says, every person that Jesus called, he called in public. Now, when I really did become born again, or almost there anyway, this year. But I did it in private. Now, let me tell you, quite often when we get any new visitors come to this church, people will stand out here like Ken or Andrew and will say, if anybody wants to give their life to Jesus, just come out here now. This is what Billy Graham does after every meeting. He says, I want hundreds of you to come down here and stand on the platform right here. Hundreds of you, come down. Don't, if your friends, they'll wait for you. If you miss it, if you've got a bus, you won't miss it. It'll wait. I want you to come down here and give your life to Jesus. Amen. Somebody who knows how to run it better than you do. But when somebody does say that, I want you to come out here and everyone and give your life to Jesus, most of us don't bother. And the reason is because we think, well, we're already there. We don't have to do it again. Maybe the newcomers don't even bother. They're not decided yet. They have a decision to make, so they're still thinking on it. But the rest of us think, well, we don't have to bother because we've already given our life to Jesus. But have we? Have we done it in public? I'll tell you this. If anybody comes up here again and says, anybody want to come here and give your life to Jesus, I'm going to be there. I'm going to stand there and praise the Lord. We're going to do it properly this time. Once and for all, it will be final. And there'll be no going back. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. Amen. May God bless you all.
See, that is what is meant by speaking from your heart.
Yes, it is.
That is real.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Who's next?
Praise the Lord. It's really a pleasure to be here. I can really feel the presence of God here. So you're actually doing something different. I'm going to be brief today. Actually, it's my first day of being here, so I won't bother you that much. Yesterday I was with my brother and my wife, and we're watching the Olympics. And I think it's something that I've really enjoyed. But while I was watching, I thought of something. We're watching this, it was a group of athletes running. And there was this lady who, she started really well. And just towards the end of the journey, she slowed down. And she didn't get a medal. She missed out. And, you know, I reflected on that. First of all, I also thought, you know, football started today. Those of you who like watching football, I'm actually an Arsenal fan. I've been watching football matches, and you always realize that football normally is 90 minutes, and people will play and play. But you realize that towards the end of the match, you know, people get tired. While some people get tired, some people always also see it as an opportunity, either to equalize or, you know, just to nick a goal and win the match. I also realize that that is how Christianity is as well. The Bible tells us that we are in the last days, and you discover that this is the time that most people, instead of putting their effort to serve God, people go lukewarm. You see, times have changed. People, instead of, you know, really putting their hearts in serving God, the Bible says the pleasures of this world has caught the attention of so many people. You know, my encouragement today is that, you know, we really focus on Jesus. The time is really short. The Bible says that when he is going to come, two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will remain. You know, I always reflect on that. Whenever I go to my bed in the evening, I always think, if Christ was to come today, where will I be? There's a song that we sang today that said that I can only imagine the price he paid for me. You know, Jesus paid the ultimate price. This is a man who was the favorite son of God. God loved him so much. But God decided to send his son, his favorite son, to come and die in our place. And I can just imagine, I come from Cameroon, and I know how it is over there. The president of my country, you never see him because he thinks he's right up there. Not to imagine him sending his son to come and die for a citizen like me, it will never happen. But God decided to send Jesus. And when Jesus came to this earth, he left everything in heaven. He left everything. You know, he had the best mansion you can think about. He had everything at his disposal. But he thought, look, there's somebody down there who is lost, and I want to come and look for the lost sheep. And he left all of that. He came down here, and he paid the price. To me, I can't imagine what he went through, but he did it for me and you. And I think, you know, it's something we have to celebrate about, and we have to think, have I really given my life to Jesus? And what my brother said, you know, it really struck me. You know, we never think about it. You know, we always think about the next shift we're going to do, you know, how much we're going to earn, how am I going to get rich tomorrow? But we don't look at that. So my encouragement to all of us today is that we should reflect and think, have I really given my life to Jesus? If Jesus was to come today, or if he was to sit at the, he is at the right hand of the Father, but if he was to look at my life today, would he be proud of me? So thank you very much, and may God bless you.
Praise God. Who's next? Come on, Tracy.
Afternoon, everybody. Well, I fetched two little bits to church today that I have been reading. So, first one is Samuel 22, 1 to 4. David sang this song to the Lord when the Lord rescued him from all his enemies, especially from Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my Saviour, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the strength of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, and my Saviour who saved me from violence. The Lord should be praised. I called on him and was saved from my enemies. And the other one was Psalms 103:1-5. Praise the Lord, my soul, praise his holy name. All that is within me, praise the Lord, my soul, and never forget all the good he has done. He is the one who forgives all your sins, the one who heals all your diseases, the one who rescued your life from the pit, the one who crowns you with mercy and compassion, the one who fills your life with blessings so that you become young again like an eagle. Amen.
I'm just looking for a moment. Hallelujah. Praise.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for all of you and for love that you share. And the scripture that I want to share with you is just a small one. It's in, if I can find it. It's Matthew chapter 6. And the verse that I wanted to concentrate on is verse 33. So I'll read. Yes. Says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I just want to encourage us that we continue to seek God, as I can see that you are seeking God, and that all the other things that we need. We don't need to seek what we need, because that will be added unto us. Yeah. So we need to seek the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added. Absolutely. We don't even need to pray about it. We don't even need to ask for it. It will just be added. So let's keep on seeking the kingdom of God. Yes. Praise the Lord.
I wasn't going to get up. You know me, I'm shy and reserved and quiet. Hallelujah. Beginning of the year, this year, 2012, basically God gave us that scripture, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And as I was reading at the beginning of the year, the Lord said to me, that's not what it's saying. And I sort of thought, stopped for a moment and paused and said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, it should say this. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom. Then all these things, and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. There's no point in finding the kingdom if you don't find the King of the kingdom. And that follows on with what Bill was saying about Billy Graham. Come out and find the King.
Amen.
Come out and find the King.
Yes.
Come out, I want to introduce you to the King. Don't introduce me to the kingdom. Introduce me to the King. Because once I know the King, I can be part of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I can have what the kingdom is. I can have what the kingdom has for me. But I need to know the King. And this is, you know, I just want to share that with you. You know, we're pressing into the next level, in the sense of God wants to bring to each and every one of us a new and fresh revelation of himself. I was reading something this week, and it was saying, and it's a book that's been written 1930s. So it's nearly 100 years old, this book now. And the guy was saying there in that book, we've had Martin Luther, we've had the Reformation people like Luther and Wesley, and the Wesleys afterwards, and all these people came along and they brought a deeper revelation of the Word of God, a greater understanding. But do you know what? Most of the church has stopped there. Where's the next revelation? Where's the next revelation of this book? We teach that this book is a mystery. It's a mystery. And what is written in this book is not there just for human eyes to read. This book is spiritual. This book is to be read in the realm of the Spirit. And that when we read it, God wants to speak to us by His Spirit. Because you, as we've said before, intellectual people read this book, and when they finished, they say, there is no Jesus. There is no God. There is no creation. It's all a myth. And these people are educated. Educated, but they're reading with blinded eyes. And when we come to Jesus, He gives us new glasses. The veil is torn. That's what Scripture says, the veil is torn away. And we can enter into the Holy of Holies. And we can see the revelation of God Himself. This book is not yet fully revealed. Hallelujah. I thank God for that, because we have yet to receive more from God.
Amen.
God is a God of mystery.
Yes.
He's a God of wonder.
Yes.
He's a God of miracle.
Yes.
And He's a God of power.
Yes.
And that's the God I serve. That's the God I worship. That's the God I follow. One of the greatest wonders and the greatest miracles you'll ever see is somebody who walks down this aisleway and says, I want to ask Jesus into my heart and into my life, and I want to receive Him and make Him Lord of my life and become a new creature, a new person with a new dimension in their life that has been missing from the very point that they were born. There's a dimension missing in every person. But when you came to Jesus, that dimension became available to you. The realm of the Spirit. God is Spirit. And the Bible says we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Doesn't say worship Him in the flesh. It says it worship Him in the Spirit. Spirit first. God made Adam in the garden, and He made him first spirit. He's spirit. And when He made you and me, He breathed into us His Spirit, an incorruptible seed. And that is what God wants for each and every one of us, to live and to breathe in that realm. Stop remembering the past.
Amen.
Stop walking in the past. Stop being reminded of the past.
Amen.
That person's dead.
Yes.
It's about the future. It's about the now. Now faith is. God is the God of the now. It's like our brother Felix said. So many people are looking to God, to Jesus, to come and take us out. And so everybody's sitting back, partying, having a nice relaxing time, while the rest of the world goes to hell. That is the worst gospel message that the evangelical church ever took on board. That Jesus is coming back for me. I don't doubt it. But I tell you what, He's not coming back in the way that so many people think. Now I'll preach some doctrine on you. He's coming back in here, in the power of the Spirit. He's coming for a glorious bride, the Scripture says. The bride being the church. Is the church glorious now? And the answer is no. Where are the signs? Where are the wonders? Where are the miracles? In the church. Where are they? Now, some of you go to different churches. My question to you today, those other churches that you visit, are there signs, wonders and miracles happening in that church? If the answer is no, then Jesus needs to be seen in the churches first. People need to get a grasp of God in the realm of the Spirit. And we need to take hold of God and say, God, this is what I need to see. This your word says, Jesus gave us that commandment. Go into all the world. Yes. Preach the gospel.
Amen.
What's the gospel? The good news is that Jesus is alive. Amen. And that my sins have been washed away. And that I can enter into the presence of God when I make Jesus Lord of my life.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the good news.
Yes.
That's the good news. That's the mystery of the cross. That Jesus is alive. That he poured out his blood. And he did it not just for you and for me. But he did it for all creation.
Amen.
This earth will be redeemed. See, God created this earth. This universe that is tainted by sin will all be redeemed.
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus.
The
Bible says the earth groaneth. As it waits for its time of redemption.
Amen.
Its time's not happened yet. All the blood's been shed. But it's waiting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come and stand on the earth and be the Lord of this earth. But he's got to be Lord of you and me first.
Amen.
It's got to be Lord of you and me first. And so many people go to church and Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is not Lord. It just looks good. I have to go and get my muck card marked. Just have to go and get a feel-good factor and I'll be okay. Well, I'm sorry, it's a 24/7 gospel. It's a 24/7 relationship. I can't suddenly turn around to my wife and say, sorry, love, I don't need you today. I'm disappearing. You know, I'm going to make it, instead of a 24/7, I'm going to make it a 24/6 and leave you out one day. Mm-mm. That don't work. It's 24/7. It's this constant going on with God day by day, moment by moment. It's a personal relationship that we have with him that is so important. That Jesus must be Lord of all things. The devil knows that. And the devil wants to stop you being Lord. He wants to stop you seeking the King of the kingdom of God. So you won't catch his righteousness. If you don't get his righteousness, you won't get the rest. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be. Not might be, not maybe, not could be. It's a shall. God is the God of yes.
Yes.
He's the God of yes.
Yes.
And he's the God of today.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're not talking about yesterday. We're talking about the God of today.
Amen.
Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's come to set captives free.
Thank you,
he's come to heal the brokenhearted.
Yes.
He's come to bring deliverance.
Yes.
And he's come to see a glorious bride.
Amen.
He empowered us by the power of the Spirit, that we might be glorious. That we might, each and every one of us, go out and do signs, wonders and miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 12 says to the fivefold ministry of the church, you start equipping the saints of the church for their work in the ministry. Where's the ministry start? It starts at home, it starts in your work, it starts on the streets. Wherever you are, the ministry goes. The ministry is not in this building.
Amen.
The ministry is out those doors.
Amen.
Anybody unsaved in here today? Raise your hand. Does everybody know Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay? So the ministry of salvation, everybody in here today knows Jesus. Last week, three young people gave their hearts and lives to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. That, three miracles happened last week in this very building. And they're here again today. Wow. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. God wants to see those lives go on and bring miracles to birth. The responsibility of churches and leadership is to equip the saints. Are you a saint?
I am.
Are you a saint?
I am.
Say, I am a saint of God. I know you. You better be, because it says in here that in Ephesians, Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus. Who's he writing to? Stained glass windows? See, evangelicals don't like these terms at times. Saints? Oh, I can't say I'm a saint. Well, I am. I may not be perfect yet. That's a process that's going on, but God sees me perfect. God sees me perfect. That's the goal. That's the gold medal that we're running to. The prize of the high calling that he's called us into perfection. He's called us into his glory. Paul says, just run the race. Run the race and cross the line.
Yeah.
And to all who run the race is a prize. We know in the Olympics, to all who run the race and cross the line, there's not a prize. But to those in Christ Jesus that run the race and finish the course, there is a prize. There is great reward and there is great rejoicing in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is great rejoicing in heaven. Last week, there was a horrendous party going on in heaven. Three young ladies gave their hearts and life to Jesus, and the angels burst into celebration.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There was an absolute party going on in heaven. Glory to God. Don't get excited. Glory to Jesus. The angel will do it for you. But that's what it's about. I have a sure and certain hope.
Amen.
God will keep us.
Yes.
I like that psalm. Matthew chapter... Second Samuel chapter 22 and verse 29 says, "For thou art a lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illuminates my darkness."
Yes, I feel
you might have some darkness.
Yes.
But when you get in touch with the King, he says he will illuminate the darkness. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And when the light of the world comes into this world, it illuminates all the darkness. And the darkness flees. And light is with each and every one of us. And then he goes on to say in verse 30, "For by thee I can run upon a troop. For by my God, I can leap over a wall."
Amen.
Come on, see it, Christine.
Yes.
See it.
Yes.
This is not prepared. See it, sister.
Amen.
I can run upon a troop. Run to the battle. I can leap over a wall. These are the miracles of God. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Let the word of God become powerful. Let the word of God begin to change things.
Yes.
Verse 31 says, "As for God, his ways is blameless." The word of the Lord is tested.
Yes.
His word stands. His word will stand the test of time. It will stand the test of time. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is a rock beside our God? God is my fortress.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He is my fortress. He is my strength. He is my bulwark. He is a strong tower.
Yes.
This is my God.
Amen.
This is my Jesus. And do you know something? I can only have this I can only be a partaker of this because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because one day I heard his voice call, and I came and I bowed the knee at the foot of the cross publicly. You see, he was crucified publicly. They sought to humiliate the creator of this world. They sought to humiliate the one who did nothing but good, that healed the sick, that raised the dead, that fed people. And they sought to humiliate him because of their religious spirit. Because he didn't fit with their religious ways. Well, let me tell you this. God doesn't care about your religion. God does not care about your religious attitude. God thinks that of your attitude if it's religious. And if you have got a religious spirit, then you're not connected to Jesus. It's about relationship. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead should dwell in each and every one of us. And that same spirit, when we come to the Lord Jesus, when we bow the knee at the foot of the cross and acknowledge that we are sinners and that we're unworthy to be in his presence, but yet by the precious shedding of his blood and the sacrifice of his death and resurrection for us, we have eternal life. But he has to be the king of our life. He has to be the be-all and the end-all of our life. Drink, money, drugs, women, things, nothing can replace him. Nothing should stand in front of Jesus. Even your own wife, even your own husband does not come before the Lord Jesus. Even your own children do not come before the Lord Jesus. It says so, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the King of the kingdom, and all these other things that are connected to you shall be blessed. That's what it's saying. It shall be blessed. But the blessing comes through knowing him. The blessing comes through being connected to him. I have a battery charger at home. You put batteries in it and you charge these batteries. Guess what? It's useless if it's not connected into a socket where the power source is, where the anointing is. And if you and I are not connected to Jesus, and I don't care what you know, who you know, or what you've read, it is useless, lest we are connected to the Spirit of a living God. John 15, he's the vine, you're the branches, be connected, that you might bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, etc. That we might bear these things. And we bear these things through our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and he's my King. He's my Lord. He's my Saviour. He's my Deliverer. And it's all because of his sacrifice on that cross. We don't diminish that. We acknowledge that and we lift it up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Today, churches don't uplift Jesus. They sing songs that make them feel good. I'll tell you what, when you start to sing Low in the Grave He Lays, Jesus my Saviour. Oh, for that coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave, he arose like a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose victorious from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. That's my Jesus. that's my Lord. But the cross was a place of shame and suffering and guilt and torment. And all of that was yours and mine, that was placed on him, and he took it all, that you might have none of that. But the only reason you'll have none of that is when you're in absolute relationship with him. When you're connected to the vine, when you're connected to the one who's connected to the throne room of God, who lives and breathes the kingdom and is the kingdom, then you will know the power and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in your own lives. Amen.
Man has a fundamental desire or connection to worship. And you can see it in the world today. Man is looking for something to worship all the time. Grace called it the God void. Only God can fill it. But you look at the way people worship personalities and things, and causes even. But there's someone to worship beyond all other things. We've got to come round the table, every member of us now, where we can meet in a special way with Jesus. And like I've said before, it's personal to each one of you. You know where you're at this point in time. And there's nowhere you can go where you cannot reach out to Jesus. Nowhere you can go where you can't reach out if it's a need you've got. If it's a health problem, if it's a situation problem. Well, Pauline's ministering in the Sunday school there. It's still open, anybody wants to share. So if you can just be thinking about that.
I have a verse that I want to share with all of us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm.
Amen.
For God can be trusted to keep his promise."
Yes, thank you,
God. Yesterday, as we were having a good time with Felix and Pepsi, told them in all the covenants that we found in the Bible, there are two things that you find in them: trust and obedience. And I told them, because they're a couple, that marriage is not a contract.
No.
It's a covenant. And those two things, trust and obedience, has to be there. When the man of God was talking here about his beloved one, 3 years seems a lot. I saw that aspect of covenant in it. Because if it was a contract within 3 years, he's still young, that love he's feeling could vanish and disappear, get the attention elsewhere. Yeah, of course, if she were able to talk, she could express herself and tell him what she wishes. But I really appreciate to see that when she were alive, he knew it wasn't a contract. It was a covenant. And what you have expressed here is showing love that was alive while even she was still alive. And Bishop also came and gave a very good illustration of a scenario when a man can tell the woman that today, for 24 hours, I don't need you. That cannot happen. If one tries to do that, it will be the end of that marriage. And that really struck me, to see that in our covenant with God, in our relationship with God, we take sometimes
or most of the time, things carelessly. And in fact, we are the one who put him on hold. That for 24 hours, we even go beyond 24 hours. We put him on hold because we have so many other things, as Felix put it, to which we give him priority. But it shouldn't be like that. So this message the Lord gave us from the beginning of the year, to seek first the King of the Kingdom, if really, really we understand it and it becomes part of our lives, then things really will be different in our relationship, our everyday relationship with the Lord. And our faith, as these verses, will not waver side to side. We'll have a focus. May the Lord bless us.
I've just been feeling all since lunchtime that this may apply to two or three people, maybe more, I don't know, but I feel God is very definitely saying that you've said in your heart that life can never be as good again. But God would say to you that you have imprisoned yourself and you've imprisoned your future because you're thinking wrong. Yes, life was good, but God says to you that there is much more for you yet to possess. There is indeed a hope and a future in your destiny. There is a road ahead that He has planned for you that you have no idea about. And He would say to you, look ahead. Don't look behind, look ahead. Because He has a bright and a glorious hope for you. He has a ministry yet that you haven't seen and that you will fulfill. But He would say to you, have hope, trust Him, walk out of that prison and see your Lord leading you on. We must go, we must go on, we must go on.
I just want to share something that actually goes back a few years. We used to go to Lottery Hall, particularly when the Americans came over, which some of you remember. Recently, I was just puzzling over a little query I had in my mind that the land of Israel is called Israel. But when you look historically, it was actually Judah and Israel. And Judah actually covered the area of Jerusalem. So I wonder, why didn't they call it Judah rather than Israel? And this is the thing I was pondering. And I came to Ezekiel, and it's in chapter 37, verse 15 over it. It says, reunion of Judah and Israel. Sort of explained the way I was thinking. I'm just trying to explain to you why I got to where I got. Adjacent to that, chapter 37 is the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. And this particular time at Mattersea, I was asked to preach. And bearing in mind there's the Americans there with, you know, their clever preachers and one thing or another, and I was really just learning. And I hadn't got anything, but I was asked to speak. And I actually got this while I was there, waiting to speak. And it concerns the Valley of Dry Bones. Now, if you know the story about the Valley of the Dry Bones, God's saying to, he's talking to the nation of Israel, he says, prophesy to the dry bones. And the thing that caught my attention was, he wasn't saying to someone else to prophesy. He says, you prophesy. And it hit home that he was saying, prophesy into your own situation. Prophesy into your own situation. We think it has to come from somebody else, some outside source. But you know, David spoke to his own soul. He told it to get into line. And I think God so often is trying to tell us, prophesy into your situation. Because if you prophesy positively into your situation, you can change it. You can change it. So I just encourage you, if you are in that situation and you're thinking about your future, you want to some determined information from God, some decision from God on your future, read that first part of chapter 37 about the valley of dry bones. And see what happened when you prophesy. When you prophesy. I got it highlighted from a long time ago. Verse 4. It says, prophesy over those bones. Verse 7. So I prophesied. Verse 9, he says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Verse 10, so I prophesied. And there was things happened when he prophesied. So I just encourage you, read that first part of 37. Perhaps, you know, this was the reason that my attention was drawn to that. It's a long time since I've even thought about it. But hallelujah, praise God. Is there anyone else before we... Oh, come on then. Come on. Praise God.
The girls wanted to share with you this afternoon what they've been learning in their Sunday school.
In the room we're doing the sheet and... and it says our hope for heaven is based on God's promise. And we have to find out what his promise were. And it says, if you believe in me, you will have everlasting life full of joy.
Thank you, God. Yeah, full of joy. Thank you. That bit. We also learnt that God's promises are in his time.
Yes.
And his time is the right time.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you,
God. Want to do it? Katana's a bit shy and a bit giggly because she's a giggly, shy girl. But she's not in the back. Paige, do you want to share anything? Do you want me to tell them how you felt about coming to church today? Paige said she was very excited and ready to come to church today. So they were all looking forward to come to church. So that's good news, isn't it, for everybody here. And we've all been praying for different things, and then prayers will be answered by Jesus, won't they?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The way they were getting down to this. Well, I'd set it to her, but we've got a tall young lady, haven't we? Is there anyone else who wants to share? I want to make sure everybody's had the opportunity that wants to come. Come on.
We have been talking about living in the light, haven't we? And I come upon this, actually. This little booklet comes from the prison where Stephen works. They give these books out to the prisoners, you know. So I've been looking through it and I thought, oh, this is nice. It says, living in the light. The light of Christ is what guides us each day. This light was first shone into our souls at baptism. The darkness of our fallen human nature was transformed by this great and powerful light, which bursts from the darkest place of all, the tomb of the dead Jesus. Now we try to walk by this light. The person of Jesus and his gospel becomes our guiding light. Each step of the way, we try to bring that light to bear unto that faces us, that we must do or say how we are going to react. This is a light of compassionate love, of clear-eyed justice, and of forgiveness. It is indeed the light of life.
Come on, Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. While Andrew was testifying, a song came to me. I lift my hand to the coming King, to the great I Am, to whom I sing. For you're the one who reigns within my heart. It's another one. I will serve no foreign God,
Amen.
Nor any other treasure.
Right.
You are my heart's delight,
Amen.
Spirit without measure, and to your name I will bring my sacrifice. I think I'm going to sing it, Andrew, if I can.
Well done. I'm glad you know, because I've got a clue. I'm scratching my head. Got me guessing.